Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 18, if you will. It came to pass, as he was alone praying. This is the most transparent time that we can have. This is the most vulnerable time that we can have. When it's just you and God. In verse number 18, it says, Jesus was alone praying. Can you think of a time in your life where you are more honest than when you are talking to God who already knows it anyway? When we are more transparent, you know, that last song, did y'all hear me singing up here? Did y'all see me get up here and sing? Mike did. Mike saw me moving my lips and no sound coming out. But I was showing, you know, I was putting it up, you know, giving an effort. I told Brother John, I asked him if he would lead the singing this morning. I contacted him yesterday evening. And I said, I don't know if I'll have enough voice left after Sunday school to sing and to preach. And he graciously accepted the challenge and did a great job. But I could stand up here and pretend like I'm singing. And, you know, I can drag around and, you know, feel lousy and feel terrible and not want to do anything or acknowledge anybody. But when it's time to preach, I can come up here and put all of the energy in it. And had you not known, you'd say, well, everything's normal. But when I'm alone with God, he knows the truth. And probably most of what's caused this sickness is some stress this week. I can tell you exactly when it started. And it was a very stressful situation. It broke down my immune system. And I can go before God, even though I won't weep in front of anybody else, I can go before God and I can weep. I can go before God and I can lay it all on the altar. I don't have to hide anything because there are no secrets with God anyway. I'm not saying that I'm two-faced or hypocritical, but what I'm saying is that there's what you need to know and then there's what he needs to know. And so I can just lay it all out there to God and tell him everything, and then when I'm done talking to the Lord, I may come to you and not mention the problem at all because there's not anything you can do about it anyway, but I take it to him because he can fix it. I cannot think of a more transparent, more intimate time that there is in our lives than when it's just you and the Father. Amen. Jesus has gone before the Father. He's alone with the Father. He has set everything aside. Look at this. There's nowhere Jesus goes that somebody's not out there with their hand out or their both hands out saying, I need something from you, Lord. But he's the Lord. That's his, you know, that's the role. So it's not that they're wrong to come to him, but we have to understand that Jesus is in the human form and he's walking on the earth, and it gets old sometimes with everybody needing something from you. There's only one place Jesus can go and nobody needs anything. And that's when he's with the Father. If he's with the sons of thunder, their mom says, give them a throne on either side of you. If he's with the multitudes in the wilderness, they say, we don't have enough to feed everybody. Give us, we got to go get some more food. Everywhere he goes, somebody needs something. Lord, help, my daughter is sick and dying. Help, my son is throwing himself in the fire. Help, this man lives among the tombs in the caves of Gadara. Everywhere he goes, somebody needs something. So he gets alone, just him and the Father, and nobody needs anything. for those moments. And he's able to open his heart and just talk to the Father. While he's there talking to the Father, look at verse 18. The disciples were with him. What does that mean? They gathered themselves there. You notice there's a word in there, right? What's that word in verse 18? Alone. How many people are with you when you're alone? Nobody. Right? So he's just praying. He's talking to the Father. He's having sweet fellowship with God. Oh, everybody ought to do that. You need to do that today. You need to do it every day. You need to do it a couple of times a day. I don't know about you. I laugh with God. I sing with God. We just have a great time together. I talk to him about burdens and needs and, you know, every opportunity. It doesn't have to be some formal, you know, church time prayer, just a whisper of prayer, just a need. Lord, you know I need this. Lord, they need this. Lord, touch them. Show me what I can do. Do I need to help them? What should I do with this? How do I deal with this? Always talking to the Father. And so he's talking to the Father, and then the disciples show up. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? So to rephrase the question, what you been hearing out there? What are the people saying about me? Who do they think I am out there? And they answered, verse 19, John the Baptist. Some, Elijah. Others say one of the old prophets is risen again. So there's a story out there, but the bottom line is, they say he's a prophet. A powerful prophet. They can see there's something different about this guy. Not just a man, not just an ordinary guy. He's got the touch of God on his life. He's got the power of God in him. He's a prophet. But you know, it doesn't matter what the preacher says or the deacons say or the Sunday school teacher or the church people or your mama or your grandma or your papa or your pawpaw. Jesus brings it back to the most important question. He says, whom say ye that I am? First, I asked you what they're saying about me, what they think. But what's most important, I need to know, what do you think? Who do you say that I am? Because we each have to answer for ourselves. How do you get to heaven? Well, the preacher says, no. How do you get to heaven? You know the answer to that. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's by faith. So you know how to get to heaven. It's a matter of what you believe. Now here's the question, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. No, you need to know it. From your heart to God's heart, God, I am a sinner. I know I've done wrong. But I know Jesus died on the cross to wash away my sins, and I put my faith in you and ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. I give my life to you. Then I know you're going to heaven. There never has to be a doubt, never has to be a question. Oh, but I sinned since then. Yeah, everybody did. The man that was on the other side of the cross from Jesus, if he'd have lived another day, he'd have sinned again. Because the reality is we're all flawed. We all fall short. He said, what do you believe? I hear what they believe. What do you believe? Because I'm going to tell you something. He's not just a prophet. He's not John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah resurrected. He's Jesus, the Son of the living God. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. And we have to understand that. Somebody asked the other question. The other day asked a question, say, well, if you don't believe in the virgin birth, can you be saved? There's nowhere in the salvation formula that talks about the virgin birth. In Now, I hope you understand that Jesus was conceived and born of a virgin. But that's a side doctrine. The doctrine is this: do you know you're a sinner? Yes. Do you know Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Yes. Have you asked God's forgiveness of your sins? Yes. Then you're saved. I mean, you ought to believe everything the Bible teaches. But if you come across and have some conflict with something along the way, then that's a struggle you can have. And then you can have a discussion when you get to heaven and talk to God about it. But if you don't accept the doctrine of salvation by faith, by grace, through Jesus Christ, then you're not getting there. Well, I just believe you got to work for it. Then you're not going to get in, because you can't do enough work to overcome the sin you committed. Well, I just believe you ought to go to church. You don't go to church enough to get to heaven. We don't have a secret passageway here. It's by grace through faith. You've got to pray. Talk to God. Whom say ye that I am? Look at verse 22, if you will. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. You know, I've come to realize we don't like suffering. How many of you don't like suffering? I don't like suffering. I would complain because the room's a little too cold. Then you came up here and it was a little too warm. It's a balancing act. By the way, I agree it was too cold back there. And I agree it was too warm up here. We don't like to be uncomfortable. Suffering is not in our vision, in our mindset, in our vocabulary. We don't want it. Jesus said in verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He must suffer. We don't want to suffer. Number two, he said he must be rejected. Man, don't you know that's what everybody's fighting against is rejection these days? Everybody wants to be accepted. Well, we'll change our music to fit everybody, what everybody likes. You know, we'll just get a little bit of everything in there. And we'll get our preacher to dress in such a way where it won't offend anybody. If this offends you, you've really got problems. But there's no need to try to, adjust to satisfy everybody. Jesus said even the Son of Man, even Jesus himself, would suffer and be rejected. So guys, if we get rejected because we're doing the right thing, that's okay. I'm not going to go out here and be a martyr and put myself in a position to be rejected, but, you know, if we're doing the Lord's work and we get rejected, that's just part of it. That's okay. It says he even must be slain. Here's the point. The point is, even Jesus suffered. We don't like suffering. We don't even want to do anything that could lead to suffering. If there's a chance that we're going to suffer, we don't want to do it. But you know, the Bible says if we regard the clouds, we'll never plant. And if we don't plant, we won't sow. We won't reap. If we don't sow, we won't reap. But we like to play it safe. Right? Well, I don't want to share the gospel at work because I might get in trouble. Well, how about this? How about try it and see if you get in trouble? I don't want to share the gospel, you know, with my family because it might offend somebody. Well, how about let's try it and see if they get offended? Guys, we're being so careful, we're not able to do what God put us here to do. We have got to get out of our comfort zones. We have got to present ourselves into at least a risk of suffering, and let's see if there's any suffering at all. And I'm here to tell you, most of the time, there's not. Every once in a while, you're going to run across some radical who doesn't want a Bible on your desk and doesn't want a cross on your wall and doesn't want to hear the word Jesus. I've worked with people like that. They said, don't say that J word around me. Okay. So, well, you know what I did? I adjusted. But we've got to put ourselves out there into a position where there's a possibility of some risk and a possibility of some suffering. because that's where the work is. We only want to hang around the people that are safe. We're not going to accomplish anything for God. Every once in a while, we got to get around some people that are a little risky. Jesus said he was going to suffer, and if he's going to suffer, that means we should expect some suffering. Look at verse 23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. First thing, deny himself. You see, we're called to serve. No doubt. But let me ask you a question. Are we surrendered to serve? I know what God's called me to do. Is there a difference between what God wants you to do and what you're willing to do? Are we just willing to go to church Sunday morning and that's it? Like, I'll get dressed, I'll go to church, and I'll close my eyes for the prayers. I'll even sing along. And I'll sit there and behave while the preacher, you know, expounds. But then I'm going back to my life and leave me alone. I want to do whatever I want to do. Are we surrendered? Have we said to God, God, not only do I accept Jesus as my Savior, I give my life to you. Here's what I know. I know that God has a better plan than I do. He knows more than I do. He can see farther out than I can. And if he's got a plan, I need his plan, not mine. Because I could tell you, my plan would not have brought me here doing this. That was not in my plan. Even the first time I came up here to preach, I didn't even know I was coming in view of a call. It wasn't in my plan. By the way, we're getting close to that time of year, aren't we, Brother Jimmy? 19 years coming up. I didn't have that in my plan. I didn't know that was what God was doing, but that's what God was doing. What I had to do, I had to set my will aside, my vision aside, my plans aside, and say, God, what do you want to do? He said he got to deny himself. Deny himself. It doesn't mean we got to punish ourselves. It just means we got to put Jesus first. How many of you think you probably wouldn't have bought something somewhere along the way if you'd asked God first? You would have, there's something in your life you say, I never would have done that if I would have known. Well, did you pray about it? Did you talk to God? Look at what he says. Let him deny himself. If any man will come after me, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. Is that a song that we sing? Walking in his steps. You ever done that? Tried to walk in somebody else's steps? Every once in a while, we track through the swamps, and I find it safer to step in other people's footsteps or even my old footsteps if I can take the same path. Because every once in a while, how many of you were concerned about quicksand when you were a kid? I could take you to some place, so there's some quicksand. And I get in it regularly. But I know that if I follow in the same footsteps as last time, I'll be all right. He says, number one, if you're going to come after me, we've got to choose if that's what we're going to do. Lord, I want to follow you. Number two, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to put my dreams aside and follow you. Number three, take up his cross. What is the cross? Can I tell you, there's a unique reason you were born. There's a unique purpose for you. There's something God wants you to do. And in his plan, he said he needed you to accomplish that. God made you on purpose with a purpose. That cross is that purpose. Whatever it is. Maybe you'll say, well, Pastor, I already did that. My cross has already been carried, and I'm done now. Maybe. Maybe the case. But he said, take it up daily and follow me. Follow me. I read a story the other day. 2 days ago, I guess, there was a firefight. There was a fire, a house fire. And the fire department was there working on it. And this firefighter from another town drove up and saw the fire, and he just went to the fire truck and he found some gear. He threw it on and he got up there and went in the front door to fight the fire. But the ones that were fighting the fire and the one that was in charge of that scene did not have interior operations. Here was this guy just doing whatever he thought, that's what I need to do. That's what we call freelancing. Just going off on your own. Guys, I know that sometimes in our lives we see something and we think, I need to fix that. I could do better than the guys that are working on it. But we best stand back and say, Lord, do I have a part in this? Show me my part. Don't just run off on your own. We need to be, look at what he said, follow me. Don't get ahead of the Lord. Pray. Let him lead. Never take ministry on a freelance. We've got to follow Jesus, which means we've got to be prayerful and attentive. We've got to let him lead us. For whosoever will save his life, verse 24, shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You know, it's incredibly freeing when you're not afraid to die. Because then you're not afraid to take risks. When you know you're going to heaven, you know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I don't want to hurt, don't want to be sick, don't want to die, but you know, I'm not going to live, you know, under a rock somewhere hiding from the risks and the dangers of life. Got to get out there and live. He says it's very freeing when we lose our life for his sake. I'm going to live for Jesus, and if I die, I die. I'm going to live for Jesus. If I get fired, I get fired. I'm going to live for Jesus. If I get arrested, I get arrested. All right, but I'm going to live for Jesus. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? That cast away is a term that means disqualified. You see, in the race, they would have judges around the race. It's not just a matter of who crosses the finish line first. But they would have judges around the racetrack, and they were watching the runners to see who was given an all-out effort. And if it appeared to them that you weren't given all you could, you're disqualified. I think the problem with a lot of us is we're pacing ourselves. But the problem is we're pacing ourselves to live 200 years. We're not going to make it that far. Got to be busy serving God today, living for God today, reaching our friends and our family and our neighbors and strangers for Jesus today. They need a Savior. And you have the answer. You have the gospel. If you're here this morning and for whatever reason you've not expressed the faith in Jesus and you say right now, I want to give my life to the Lord. Well, now's a good time. From your heart to God's heart, you could cry out right now and say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I give my life to you. I surrender my all to you. Forgive my sins. Maybe you're saved, but you need to get baptized, buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. It expresses the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And if you haven't done it, it's a good time to get it done. Or maybe there's something else on your heart this morning. And you say, you know, the truth is, I'm not surrendered. I've been playing it safe. I've been playing it safe, and I haven't given my all, and I haven't taken any chances for God. I've been scared to share my faith at work or in the neighborhood or at school, or I didn't do it because I figured there might be trouble, but I never tried, so I don't know. Would you talk to God this morning and get everything settled? and surrender your life to Him. Would you stand? Father, we love You so much, and we're glad to be in Your house today and to be in Your Word. But when we're honest with ourselves, we say there are times where we've been playing it safe, playing it too safe. Those we could reach and things that we could do if we just weren't so nervous that we might offend somebody or upset somebody. God, would You use us? We surrender our hearts to You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. You can pray where you are. God can hear you. There's something you want me to pray with you about, I'd be glad to do that this morning. If any man will come after Me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Thank you for being here this morning. Glad you came. Hope you'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night at 7. Any other announcements? Thursday night. There you go, 7 o'clock. But you know what this medicine does to you. Barely stand up. Thursday at 7, Greg Sabbath. Be here. Please be here and bring a friend and look forward to that, okay? Anything else? All right. Let's go to the Lord and dismiss in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?